Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news as we talk Cole Palmer, transfer snob. He's a transfer snob. We'll talk about that. What a surprise there. Also, are United about to enter late into the window? We've got an update from The Guardian in relation to that. That's in addition to what we were talking about last night. And has Thomas Tuchel been offered the Man United job? We've got some interesting information coming in on him and De Zerbi and why they didn't take the jobs before, but why they might be at the front of the queue this time. A few other bits as well. Also interesting stuff around Paul Pogba. It's incredible that people would have wanted Paul Pogba back, and yet Monaco wants to get rid of him. A few other bits too. But look, let's get straight into it. And look, I suppose the most interesting place to start off with is Manchester United's potential to move into the transfer window in the next few days. Jamie Jackson in The Guardian saying that Man United could decide to go into the transfer market to cover Dorgu's absence, with Mete of Reims among the names being monitored, who we actually mentioned on the show last night if you were watching. So look, we have got a few days left in this transfer window. Will Manchester United enter it? Well, this is what Andy Mitten has had to say. He said that in relation to whether Man United will make any signings in the last days of the transfer window, he said, "I'd be very surprised if anybody new came in for several reasons. United don't have a huge number of games to tempt players in, and there's already issues with players not getting matches due to the lack of games. And money is tight at Manchester United. If any of the main summer targets became available, United would move. I wouldn't expect any of the main targets to become available." But that to me sounds very much like club information, which is exactly what journalism is. So I don't have a problem with what's being said there. But obviously, this is client journalism, where that just sounds very much like a club brief without scrutiny. So let's scrutinise it. "I would be very surprised if anybody new came in for several reasons. Money is tight at Manchester United. United don't have a huge number of games to tempt players in, and there's already issues with players not getting matches." Now, simpletons might go, "Fair point, well made. Yeah, let's leave it till the summer." Intelligent people would go, "Hold on a minute. Money's tight at Man United. You've just offered £60 million for Semenyo to Bournemouth 3 weeks ago. Do you think we're bloody stupid? Oh, and United don't have enough games to tempt to get the players in. Hold on a minute. So you're telling me that we're not going to sign a player in January because we don't have any money and we don't have enough games? What a crock of shit. We have got the money. And also, if you bring in a player, you're not bringing in bloody, I don't know, I'm trying to think of someone's shit. If you're gonna bring in somebody in like bloody Loftus-Cheek and you're gonna pay for him, what's the point? No future, not gonna get game time, blah blah blah. If you bring in somebody that's actually part of your plans, why does it matter how many games you've got left? They're at Carrington, they're training with the players, they're acclimatizing, they're getting used to the pace, they're getting some minutes. What a load of you know what? Sometimes in life, but more importantly in football, you've got to scrutinise the information. So Andy Mitten's obviously been told United probably won't do anything because we haven't got any money, and if we do bring a player in, we haven't got many games to give them game time. What? I've never heard such shit in all my life. Who is it you're signing then? Like, if you're signing a decent player, why would they not get minutes anyway? Oh, we've signed you and you're not going to get any minutes. But even if that was the case, we've seen timeless examples of Dorgu, Bruno, Enzo Fernandez, Gakpo, loads of players that come in January, acclimatise, and they're ready to go at the start of the season. So I think it's a massive load of rubbish. I'm sure some people will agree with it, but it doesn't make any sense. Oh, we haven't got any money, and we're not going to buy anybody because of lack of minutes for other people. Basically, you're tight arses, aren't you? Call it what it is. We're tight arses, we're stupid, and we're going to roll the dice, as we discussed last night. So, look, do I think we're going to do any business in the last few days? I mean, look, I think we have to do some. Doesn't mean we will do some. I think they've left themselves in a position where we're treading into Weghorst and Agallo territory, where it won't be anything decent. We haven't got enough time. We're not going to do anything decent now. I wouldn't even say you would do Ruben Neves now. I don't think we've got time. It's Wednesday. The window closes on Monday. We've left ourselves with no time. So it would have to be something loan deal. I'm starting to think they won't even do that. I really am. I'm starting to think they won't do that. Cole Palmer, a lot of people have been talking about this the last few days. As you know, well, look, before I get into my opinions, let's just listen to the manager, Liam Rosinha. Well, let me say what he said. It's simple. Palmer, Cole is an incredible player. He's untouchable and happy at Chelsea. I'm not surprised at the timing of the rumours. A new manager comes in and all of a sudden there's people looking to unsettle players. It's not true. Cole's here. He's very happy and I can't wait to have him back on the pitch. There's no reasons for an assurance from the directors. It's so unrealistic. It's come from nowhere. There's nothing in it. There's no reason to have the conversation, and that's where I'm at. So that's the manager of Chelsea, finally, for the second time in a week, basically ridiculing these stories. And look, we ridiculed it yesterday, didn't we? I mean, it was in The Sun from a journalist that now works for The Sun, who wasn't very good at the Manchester Evening News. He was now just writing stuff for clicks because he works for an organisation that's about clicks. It's a regurgitation of a story that started last week, which was also proved to be false. We need to move on from this. I'm seeing people doing clips about, what if I get rid of Cole Palmer for Bruno? It's embarrassing. You know, we might be in the minority, but I'm proud to be part of the group that just went, this is a load of crap, I don't even want to talk about it. Cole Palmer is a good player. A very good player. And if Man United were in for him, that would be great. But it's humiliating. It's actually humiliating, embarrassing, and lowering the standards to be sat there going, I would let Bruno go for Cole Palmer. How bloody embarrassing. We were never doing this deal. It was never happening. It was always load of bollocks. And we've been lured in again to be distracted from the real issue of we have 5 days left in this transfer window. And we're not doing anything. But let's talk about something that's not. And also, with the Cole Palmer thing, when was it going to happen, by the way? There wasn't even a timeline for it. It was just, Cole Palmer's a bit homesick and might want to come to Man United. Oh, yeah, I'll do that. Yeah. Well, when was it going to happen? It wasn't going to happen this summer anyway. So, again, it's just this shite conversation that we have to put up with. I know Man United is the biggest club in the world or one of the biggest clubs in the world. But it's that sort of shit that really, I think, frustrates a lot of people because it's not even doused in any level of reality. It's just complete and utter falsity and speculation. You know, it's not even speculation. It's fantasy, absolute fantasy. So look, we need to move on from the Cole Palmer thing. And fair play to Rosinha. I mean, he doesn't even need to answer it. You know, the equivalent of this story, it would be very similar to someone like Mbeumo signing for Arsenal. It would. And even that doesn't do the... Even that's not Cole Palmer to Man United. You'd be sort of like going, it's just not happening. It's just not happening, you know? We've got total control of the situation. The player's very happy here. It's just not going to happen. But let's move on from Cole Palmer because, as you know, it's frustrated me a lot over the last few days and I'm glad that we've just got some clarity on it. Suffice to say as well, even if the fantasy was true, I would still be saying, why are we spending that amount of money on that position when it's not the priority for the team? It's not even in the top three priorities. Patrick Lynch says, it's amazing that the hierarchy claim to have long-term plans and yet they can't see the long-term benefits of getting someone in right now. Obviously a business decision and not a football one. Patrick, the voice of reason again, absolutely spot on. If you're tuning in a little bit late, Andy Mitten, who's obviously had this from the club, is saying that highly unlikely United do any business. They haven't got any money. And also they don't want to bring players in now because they won't get any minutes. So they'd rather wait till the summer. It's an incredibly embarrassing, it's incredibly naive, it's a credibly amateur approach. And it's scary that they would tell Andy Mitten that. It's scary that they would be happy for that to go out, because yet again, it just leaves the people in power open to ridicule. You haven't got any money. You bid £60 million for some NU 3 weeks ago. Well, if we do buy someone, we won't be able to give them any minutes. But surely if you're buying somebody, they're better than what you've got. So why would they not get minutes? Are you actually admitting you're going to buy shit? And also, even if they're not going to get minutes, it's proven that if you bring a player in January, they'll be more acclimatised to the Premier League in August than if you bring them in August. Planning, future planning, out the window, because it's always about this. It's always about money. Man United's a business. It's not a football club. A football club would be buying players in January. Like Man City, Semenyo and Gehi. We need them now. And also next season, they'll be even more suited to our team. Same as they did last January. Same as Chelsea have done. And we refused to do it. We refused to do it. And then they put nonsense out that out. And some simpletons swallow it and go, well, I actually agree with that. I'll rather wait till the summer. I will rather wait till the summer. What are you waiting for the summer for? Well, it might be sunny. Yeah, it might piss it down with rain as well. We live in the UK. Well, I'd rather wait till the summer. You know, I'd rather wait till the summer because I trust Wilcox and Berada and Sir Jim. And you're not going to change my mind about it because I think it's the right thing to do. We're going to wait till the summer and wait and see what happens. Okay? All right. Go and chew on a carrot. January, you donkey. January for United is a month of spin and less of deals, says Amet. Thank you very much for your super chat. Acid2335 says, YouTube says I've been subscribed for 10 years today. We don't always agree, but it's been a blast. Is 200 million in the summer enough for what we need? Well, look, mate, I think you've just exemplified what being a United Stand community member is. You're not meant to agree. That was always the tagline at the start. Real opinion for real fans, and we're not meant to agree. I remember saying that nearly every show for 18 months when we started. So you're absolutely right. And 10 years is a long time. Thank you very much. And is 200 million in the summer enough for what we need? No. No. I still subscribe to the view that when I look at a United team, I look at how much I think it needs to get to certain places. I remember when Amrim came in, I said about 750 million just to get us competing. He didn't even get half of that, did he? And he's gone. You can't then say the next manager only needs another 350 million because that was Amrim's project. So I would say whoever the next manager is in the summer, you reset the clock again, Acid. So, I mean, answers in the live chat or in the normal chat. For the new manager in the summer, whether it's Carrick or whoever, we're going to talk about Tuchel in a minute. How much money do you think they need to take United to the level of Arsenal and Man City? I would say it's a reset again, and this is the stupidity of the ownership. You give Ten Hag 300 million and you sack him. That 300 million is not Amrim's. You can't give that. You can't say, well, we've spent 300 million. That's not fair. And the same with Amrim. They may have spent, what, £300 million on Amrim? But you can't say that to the next manager. Well, you know, the next manager has to have a reset. So I would say whether it's Tuchel, De Zerbi or whoever, I would say that you're still looking at half a billion to get us into, you know, challenging. A lot more to win a title, but I think half a billion from this point to get you challenging. Slightly less than when Amrim came in because I think Cunha and Mbeumo are good signings. Obviously, we've got a goalkeeper now as well. And but yeah, I'd still say half a billion, yeah. Definitely. There's a lot of W's in the chat because Amit's gifted 20 memberships. You're a legend, Amit. Thank you very much. And from one legend to another, we've got Emily Derry in the chat. She's given us a super chat. She says, not to plan to sign players in January is a poor business decision. Any competent business has short, medium and long-term plans. United have none. Scarier still, they put it out like it's a good idea. Well, again, great point, because where is any business, as you say, has a short, medium and long-term plan? Everybody does. The United Stand does. That's football does. My local supermarket does. My local pub does. But Man United don't have short-term plans. They just... it's chaos. And when you're a team that needs to build, and when you're a team that needs to spend half a billion on it, and you ignore a transfer window, I would class that in one word as knobheadedness. Now, I don't know whether that's in the dictionary, but knobheadedness basically means you've got a big imaginary knob on your head. And everybody is going, look at that knobhead. And that's what not doing business in January is. It's knobheadedness, because it's a transfer window and you need to rebuild that team. And what football club ignores transfer windows for patience in a business that's about results? And I think that last few sentences summarises it perfectly. We're in a results business, right? What's a results business? Well, it's where you need results. When games are going on, they are results. If you ignore strengthening your team when there are results up for grabs, well, that's stupid. It's like being at war, right? It's like being at war and somebody says, before the summer, we've got 10 battles. Yeah, I've been on Amazon, I've ordered a load of tanks and a load of ammunition, but it won't come until June. But gaffer, we've got 10 battles before then. Yeah, but we'll be fine. Yeah, but if we lose all those battles badly, who's going to fire those? Who's going to drive the tanks? We'll be finished. And that's exactly why Emily is right, Patrick's right, you're right, I'm right. There is no justification for ignoring transfer windows. And also, Ineos have done it 50% of the time now. Because if you think about Ineos, the first summer when we bought Yoro, etc., the January, Dorgu, it wasn't enough. Summer, yeah, we bought again. This summer, no. You can't do that. It's a results business. You have to be planning for the now. You can't ignore battles for stuff you're going to buy in the summer. And that's what they're doing. Great point, Emily. Bing Bong, welcome to the Members Club. Thank you so much for joining. Prince Alex, thanks for your super chat. Jack Milner says, hi, Mark, hope you're well. It's been having a tough start to the year, but this community and our team has made me feel so much better. It can be a tough start to the year, especially if you're a Man United fan, Jack, but it can be personally as well. I was looking there, though. Only 3 days left of January. And I don't mind the month of January, because you've got the NFL. There's always lots of football. January transfer window can be interesting. Not if you're a United fan. But some people hate it. So we're nearly through it, Jack, and things can only get better. Thanks for being part of the community. Nikki says, Tuchel hasn't even had a tournament with England. Why would he want the job? Let's be real, Carrick already has the job. Just about to talk about that, Nikki. And Daniel Thompson says, hope you're well, Mark. United stand as well. I think it's ridiculous not doing business in January, as we need reinforcements and have funds from the Semenyu bid could cost us Champions League. It's a risk. It definitely, definitely is. Thank you very much for that. And also, Patrick Lynch has come back in and he says, do they actually want to fund a challenge? They take half measures to appear like they want to put those, but they never, in the end, get the desired result. We have no evidence of them actually committing to it fully. Well, again, another great point. And can I just give a big shout out to Abdullah, Abdul, because he's just gifted 20 memberships as well. Some very generous gifters this morning. And if you've got one, please say a thank you. If you've got a badge from our gifters. Yeah. Look, I want to talk about this Tuchel thing that was mentioned there. But just to go back on what Patrick said. We've got, I think this has been said by people in this community before, and it's a very good point from Patrick. We have zero evidence that Manchester United want to be successful.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend, because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
In the sense of the standards that we have. Man United, to me, is a title winner, and second place is nothing. Now, if we finish second at the moment, I think people would be very, very happy. But we're nowhere near that. I don't think the Glazers want to fund that. And by proxy, I don't think Ineos do as well. There is no evidence of it at all. Now, I think we've been infiltrated by bots. I think we've been infiltrated by people who won't say anything about the Glazers for their own personal benefit. Whether that's ex-players, whether that's other content creators, whether that's accounts on X, whether that's journalists. I see you. I know who you are, and I think everybody else does. Your constant positivity at times of embarrassment expose you. Your silence when people need a voice is deafening. And I think that this is how the Glazers survive. But I would say to all of those people, and you now, where is the evidence that Manchester United's board want to win the Premier League or the Champions League? Where is it? We have words, but words are not evidence. Where is the evidence beyond words that Manchester United want to win the Premier League? Because I want a massive penthouse in New York. I really do. Looking out over Central Park, you know, brilliant Wi-Fi. I would love that. I would love it, right? It's highly unlikely it's going to happen. For a multitude of reasons. But it's highly unlikely it's going to happen. And I'm not even doing anything to make it happen, right? And that's exactly the same as the Glazers. We want to win the Premier League. Man United is the biggest club in the world. We want to take Man United to the top of football, right? But where's the evidence of it? Where is the actual evidence of it? You can't say we want Man United to be the biggest club in the world or the biggest club in England and then ignore transfer windows. You can't say we want Man United to be the biggest club in England, right? And then last summer, when you actually are spending money, ignore the midfield or buy the sixth choice striker. These are not the behavioural traits of a club that is trying to win the Premier League. Be the best of the best. It's just not. So I think, again, very good point. Bing Bong says, I genuinely don't understand why people don't want Carrick as the manager and would rather have a big name manager. He is making the team look insane. Because it's too early, mate. You know, I think there are people like you who... there's shows where it had gone, there are people like you, fucking idiots. No, I wasn't. I was not going down that road, to be fair. Yeah. I have, and the chat will attest to it. I wasn't going down that road. And if I was, I'd say it. So there are people like you, idiots. No, I'm joking. There are people like you that want to give it to Carrick who are just really excited. And that's fine. You know, I'm all for freedom of speech when it's legal. And I'm all for, you know, a fan base that's got different ideas. Like some people factually will have posters of Delo on their wall. It's true. Somebody right now is watching Free Willy 2. The clean version, right? That's the way the world works. When I don't know whether you think like that. Like, you know, when you're driving down a motorway and you see all the cars on your side and all the cars on the other going past, 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 past. Every person in that car is like you with their own thoughts, their own opinions. That's just on that area of the planet at that time. There's millions of us. There's absolutely millions of us. And it's a head fuck, but we've all got different ideas. So there will be people out there with the low posters. There will be people out there going, give it to Carrick, tell him what to write down, give him the... Oh, it's Rio Ferdinand. Rio Fairyland, as we call him on Terry's channel, because his head's in the clouds. But the point is, there's no problem with giving Carrick the job if you want to give Carrick the job. But for me, I'm not there yet. Bing bong. I'm not there yet because it's way too early and I'm scared, right? I'm on that motorway and I'm in the slow lane. The lorries are all getting angry with me and I'm going, leave me alone. I just don't know what to do. I just don't like driving on the motorway. I'm scared, right? I'm scared of giving it to Carrick. Even if he wins loads of games, I'm really scared of giving it him. I wouldn't go as far as Roy Keane to say he shouldn't get it in any circumstances, but I don't really want him to get the job. I can't justify it beyond fear. You know, I've always got an opinion, but I can't just... If he wins every game between now and the summer, I completely agree that people saying get the job are right. And maybe at that time, I might say give him the job. But all I can be honest now is it's way too soon and it terrifies me giving the job to an interim because I know for a fact, it's like somebody said last week, an interim is the supply teacher. You know when you've got a teacher that you don't like and they go off with stress and they give you a supply teacher and the supply teacher is basically, they're not in it for the long term. They're like, get your phones out, let's play quizzes. It's fun. Oh, we like the supply teacher. Why can't you be the teacher permanently? Well, yeah, because I am fun. But the minute that teacher becomes permanent, he's got to actually teach you. He's got a curriculum to follow, you know, or she. So the supply teacher thing is true and it scares me. However, I want to talk about some actual news because this is turning into an 8 o'clock show. So Nikki said with a super chat, Tuchel hasn't even had a tournament with England. Why would he want the job? Let's be real, Carrick already has the job. So some interesting stuff coming out around Thomas Tuchel this morning. And effectively, it was Andy Mitten again on why Thomas Tuchel did not become the Man United manager in 2024. So effectively, let me take you back to 2024. Erik ten Hag has just won the FA Cup. And we finished eighth in the league. And the fan base is split. Half of us are like, what are we doing? Sacking a manager that's finished eighth and won the FA Cup. Half of you are like, get rid of this bold fraud. Looking back over my shoulder, good song. Looking back, it's incredible, isn't it? That the standards of the club in only 2024, so 2 years ago, the standards of the club were to sack a manager that had finished eighth and won an FA Cup. Now, if Amorim had finished eighth and won the FA Cup this year, he'd have got another year. It, obviously, if he hadn't fell out with Wilcox. What I'm saying is, if he'd finished eighth and won the FA Cup, he'd have got another year. So it just shows you how the club is dropping, even in 2 years, because you remember it, I remember it. It was split. Some people were like, get rid of him. Eighth is embarrassing. I don't care about the FA Cup. Eighth is embarrassing. So that's where we were. So this is why apparently... So at that time in 2024, the two top candidates were Tuchel and De Zerbi. Those were the ones that Ineos went for. And basically, it says... No, that I'm reading the wrong thing here. I want to read about Tuchel. Where's the Tuchel bit? Okay. So basically, the reason Andy Mitten says, I've heard two versions of why Thomas Tuchel didn't take the job in 24 and how that could be relevant in 2026. One of them is that he was the favourite and the money wasn't an issue, but he had two teenage daughters and he was told he wasn't ready for it. A full-on difficult job at that stage of his life that he was in. Also, there's a second story that Man United were messing around by a different source. He was the number one target along with De Zerbi, who went to Marseille. It also goes on to say that the reason De Zerbi did not get the job was because of money. He wanted far too much money, more than what Man United were willing to pay. And that was the issue. Now, if there's any element in those stories, then I don't see De Zerbi getting the job. If De Zerbi didn't take the job 2 years ago because of money, I can't see United changing that financial package, and I can't see United going back in for somebody that was motivated by money, if I'm being completely honest. So I think that with regards to Tuchel, if he didn't take the job because he didn't feel it was the right time for him, then maybe this summer is the time. And the reason I think we need to get real on Tuchel is I believe that he is probably, when you take everything into account, he is probably highly likely to be Sir Jim Radcliffe's preference. I just get that feeling, and I think there's a lot of evidence out there, and I think obviously 2024 probably backs that up too. His contract with England is up after the World Cup. I'm pretty sure of that. Tuchel England contract. I'm 90% sure. Yeah, he's got an 18-month contract signed in late 2024, lasting until the end of the World Cup. And so that, yeah, I mean, if there was to be a contract extension, that wouldn't happen until after the 2026 World Cup. So he could stay with England. He could stay with England. I mean, look, I agree with the super chat from Nikki. I think Michael Carrick's already got the job. I do. I've said it. I'm 90% sure he's already got the job. He's cheap. He's a puppet. And they will be able to do whatever they want to do in the board. And what I mean by puppet, I'm not being offensive to Michael Carrick. Michael Carrick is probably one of my favourite players in modern Man United post 2006. Michael Carrick would probably be one of my favourite players. you know, like the 2008 team. I know we still had Scholes and Carrick and Neville was hanging around a little bit, but that's the 99 team. I think the 2008 team, Carrick's one of my favourite players, massively underrated. So got a lot of time for Carrick anyway. And I think he comes across as a stand-up guy. What I mean by puppets is a bit like Solskjaer. You get given an opportunity you never should get given, really. Like, and I'm not, that again, that could be offensive. What I'm saying is, you wouldn't expect Michael Carrick to be given the Man United job. So he wouldn't expect it. So if you give Michael Carrick the Man United job, he is indebted to you, the same as Solskjaer. If you give Jose Mourinho the job, he comes in with an ego. I want the Man United job. I respect the Man United job. But I'm also Jose Mourinho and I want this, this and this, right? I don't think Michael Carrick can or will, when he's offered the job, go, I'm Michael Carrick. I want a budget of $500 million. I want a veto on transfers. I want to get rid of him, him. I think what I mean by puppet is head coach. To me, a head coach is a puppet. Like, a head coach is, you get what you're given. You don't have a say on transfers. You don't get to demand anything. We're in charge. And I think that's the ownership model that we have at the club now. Now, if you give the job to Thomas Tuchel, you don't get a puppet. You get a reputational coach who is going to want a big say. Same with Enrique. So I think United want a puppet. I think they want a head coach that they can control. And Michael Carrick falls into that category, as does Southgate, as does, well, who else? There will be other managers out there. So I think that they will go with Carrick. I'm 90% sure, because he'll be cheap and he fits the role that they want. However, it is too early. It is too early to say that. It's just my prediction. I think that if you're not going for that, De Zerbi's a mistake. Glasner's a mistake. Areola's a mistake. Iriola's a mistake. Definitely don't go for the one West Ham goalkeeper. But there's only three or four candidates. There is Tuchel, there is Enrique, there is Conte, and there is Ancelotti. They're the four reputational coaches that come in with aura. There's not really anybody else. And if they're not going to go for one of those four, I'm sort of like, what does it matter? Yeah? Paul Cassidy says, Mitten, nobody new coming in. Wilcox re-signs Pogba and Jay Lingard. Vibes, Wilcox playing checkers, other clubs out there playing chess. Well, in relation to Paul Pogba, Monaco apparently want to get rid. I read it this morning. Where did I see it this morning about Paul Pogba? Yeah. Gazzetta dello Sport, Monaco are expected to explore opportunities to part ways with Pogba. His contract is supposed to run until the summer of 2027, but his return hasn't gone as initially hoped. He's only played 30 minutes of football since coming back from a drug ban. I mean, there were people a year ago saying, let's sign Pogba. Remember, a year ago, people were saying, let's sign Pogba. It's a fantasy again. It's Cole Palmer time. It's head in the clouds. It's Rio Fairyland. It's wrong. Like, Pogba's finished. Nothing to do with the drug ban. His body's been broken ever since he left Manchester United. I don't think he's ever played consistent football from the day he left us on a free. So, yeah, I mean, it's sad about Pogba. I mean, some people have some strong opinions on it. I don't necessarily have strong opinions on it at all. However, yeah, I mean, he wouldn't be a good option to bring to Manchester United at all. I'd rather have Ndidi, and that says something. Fine line between a company yes man and someone who will throw the toys out of the pram if they don't get what they want. Managers without United connection don't have the same loyalty to not throw it, says Big Z. Yeah, but that loyalty could also be classed as stupidity. If you look at Solskjaer, he never said a bad word about the board. And I think if you look at Ranić, you look at Amorim, you look at Jose, you look at Van Gaal, they did. And we all liked it because it's the truth. I don't want a yes man. I don't think that's being loyal to the club. Being loyal to the club is being loyal to the fans. So Jim Radcliffe's not the club. The Glazers aren't the club. Jason Wilcox and Omar Berada are not the club. There's a lot of people in that football club who would make you throw up if you knew how they behaved. They don't represent Manchester United in any way, shape or form. They represent the Glazers. The club is the fans. That's what the core of the club is. And You want a manager that speaks to the fans. I don't want a manager that just, you know, toes the party line. So I don't think being a former player is essential in Man United's pathway to being successful. I think a former player that speaks to the fans is fine. I think a former player that's willing to expose the board when they don't do the things that should be done is fine. But I don't know whether there's a manager. I don't know whether there's anyone out there willing to do that. Rajaf says, I have a theory Cole Palmer's team spread rumours about moving to United to generate high interest just when he launched the CP brand. Yeah. Yeah. Especially when he's injured. Yeah. Emily Derry says, I would take Patrick's... You've got me looking at... I've been hooked now.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the States in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I thought CP was a brand that Pep Guardiola wore. Yeah, CP Company. So he's got one as well. Yeah, I don't like the Cole Palmer logo at all. That's shit. Then again, I am in my... I'm in my 40s, so... But yeah, I think I prefer the one that Pep wears, to be honest. Looks like a tree. Looks like a boring tree. He's very popular with the ute, though, Cole Palmer. Like, both my daughters think he's good looking. I mean, I wouldn't know. You know, obviously I wouldn't know. I'll leave that to the live chat. But he has got... a very big following in the ute. Anyway, let me say this. Emily Derry says, I would take Patrick's point further and say that there is plenty of evidence that the owners are paying lip service in favour of profit. Oh, yeah, 100%, Emily. Absolutely 100%. Big Z says, we need someone who can take the weight of the job and media pressure. Isn't a yes man, but also won't get toxic if things are going bad. Who? Well... CP equals Chelsea players as solid Blake. I think it actually equals Cole Palmer, but there we go. But look, going back to what Big Z says about the actual job, look, I wouldn't rule out the name Pochettino as well. I think it's something that has to keep... We have to keep that in the vocabulary of the managerial chat. I think Pochettino is still very, very much a manager that United might look at because... He's almost, I think Pochettino's almost a fusion of Carrick and Tuchel, isn't he? He's not as good as Tuchel, but yeah, I think Pochettino might be considered. However, my main point was going to be, well, look, I did the video in the garden a few weeks ago. No way back. I don't think there is a way back. I don't want to ruin anybody's Wednesday, but I don't think there is a way back. As I said, if you give the job to Pep Guardiola, give Cole Palmer for manager, that'd be fun. If you give the job to Pep Guardiola, what does he do? And I think it's always a great head experiment. Like, imagine Pep Guardiola, got Cole Palmer on the mind now. Imagine Pep Guardiola as the manager of Man United, right? How does he replicate what he did at Bayern Munich, Barcelona and Man City? How would he do that? Because he won't be able to do it on pure coaching. He wouldn't. He's always had great players at Bayern and Barcelona and Man City, and he's been allowed to bring players in. He's been supported. So at Man United, how would the best manager in the Premier League make Man United win the Premier League? It'd be very, very difficult. So I don't know. I agree you could make a bad choice and end up in 10th and in a really bad situation, or you could make a good choice and compete for 4th every year. I don't see any coach coming in and taking United anywhere near the title. And look, I can't remember where I saw it yesterday. Somebody said Michael Carrick is perfect. He's the sort of coach that will keep you close to fourth every year for 5 years. And therefore, he'll never get sacked. And he'll provide that stability for kits and money to roll in that lets them build the stadium. That's a scary thought. But it's not planted in reality, is it? Do you think if they give the job to Michael Carrick, he'll be expensive? No. Do you think if they give the job to Michael Carrick, there'll be huge expenditure that he demands? No. Do you think Michael Carrick is good enough to keep this Man United side flirting with fourth place every year for 5 years? Yes. Do you think that would be enough for the owners? Yes. Do you think it would be enough for us? Some yes, some no. I think what United, and Berarda let it slip anyway about 18 months ago, all they want is European football for the next 5 years so they can fund the stadium on stability. As long as they've got European football coming in, Berarda said it, we factored in being in the Europa League for the next 2 or 3 years. So, I mean, what an ambitious statement that is. As football fans, you must be over the moon. The people who control our lovely club are basically saying, as long as we've got Europa League football for the next 2 or 3 years, we're fine. That means sixth. That means they're okay with sixth for the next 3 years. It's really important. I'll tell you what, United, I won't stop ignoring you. I'll just block you. Just, I don't know whether we've got any mods on this morning. Just basically abuse towards somebody else who works for the United Stand. So I'm not ignoring you, mate. I'm just not giving you any airtime other than to block you. Abuse is not going to be put up with, mate. Do one. Simple. Anyway, back to intelligent conversation. Yeah, I do think that the strategy of United goes hand in hand with the stadium and stability and not spending money. So Arsenal went through this. When they bought their stadium, they had to pay for it. So Wenger, fourth place cup. Arsenal for about 10 years, just it was all about fourth place. It's scary. Scary when you haven't won the title since 2013, that we might have to navigate another 10 to 15 years of stability to build a stadium. But this is what happens when you get Sir Jim Ratcliffe getting into bed with the Glazers. What we should have had is billionaires who will build a stadium and build a team at the same time. What we've got is tight arses who are trying to Excel spreadsheet their way through the next 15 years. I mean, I saw an article this morning about Man United are going to make £150 million for the naming rights of the new stadium. You should have seen the replies. We're back. Oh, cooking. Yeah, this. I was like, that's £15 million a year over 10 years. It's £150 million is a deal, but it's £15 million a year over 10 years. We spent £30 million last year on debt interest. So it doesn't even cover 50% of that. And that money doesn't come in until the stadium's built. And people were getting excited about it. And I'm like, it's £150 million over 10 years. Now, that's a lot of money to me and you, but to a football club, it really isn't. And it doesn't come in until we've built the stadium. How much do you think it's going to cost to build the stadium? Why are Man United fans deluding themselves about Cole Palmer when he's worth 150 to 200 million, says Kai. Had three bids rejected for 75 million and Bermo and can only pay 20 million a year. Also, Cole Palmer's logo is his celebration, says Kai. I think we've got... Are you Cole Palmer? Yeah, mate, to be fair, we all know we're not signing Cole Palmer, but some people in our fan base are a little bit naive. Strip away ex-Man United from Carrick and no one would want him to get it. As a fan base, we must get out of our emotions. He's not the right long-term choice, says Goldfridge. Thank you very much, sir. I think we got to get realistic because of the ownership, says Flying Dutchman. We wouldn't be able to spend £500 million on players. We need a manager that is similar to Emery that plays with consistency on whatever he's got. See, I think this is a great point, and I'm not here this morning to talk about who should be the next manager of Manchester United. But every time I talk to a Villa fan, or every time we see a Villa fan come into the chat and mention Emery, I've got to say, I'm not talking about Emery. I don't think it's in any way, shape or form realistic, and I'll tell you why. However, if you're talking about the manager for Manchester United that suits Manchester United, then I think you're right. I think somebody like Emery is perfect, because what's Emery done at Aston Villa? Well, he walked into a team that was it October time? That was shit under Gerrard. And then they never basically stopped winning since the day he walked in. So you sort of look at it and you go, well, the right manager, if we're going for best in class, the right manager is the manager that walks into the football club and instantly gets an improvement out of what's there, but then keeps improving year on year and works to... He has a... Look, I live quite close to where Villa play. I'm surrounded by a lot of Villa fans. So I keep a keen eye on what Villa are doing. And I think a lot of people do this year because it's great what they're doing. But he's had to operate in a circumstance that's really difficult. It's a challenging financial situation. They've got rich owners, but because of FFP, they can't put the money in like Newcastle. So they have to sell... Sometimes they have to sell players to make ends meet. I mean, the Grealish sale for them was huge. So I think Emery probably on paper fits the United situation better than anybody else, because the next manager won't have endless budget. They will have to work with players that we probably should have sold years ago. And Emery's done that at Villa perfectly. He works with players that some Villa fans don't think are good enough and gets the best out of them. He works on a budget. But you know what? He won't take the job. You know why he won't take the job? Look at this January. Look at last January. Villa have brought two players in, Tammy Abraham and Douglas Luiz, which for them are really intelligent. Last January, they bought about five players in, including Rashford and Asensio on loan and Malin and a couple of others. So at Villa, he gets support. At Villa, he gets listened to. He won't have that at United, so he won't take the job. I think Emery's a guy of principle and he won't take the Man United job because he won't have what he has at Villa, which is respect and trust and communication. But look, Villa silently do their business really well in January. Aston Villa's mentality is really good. It's a bit like Man City. They go, it's halfway through the race. We've got a few problems. What can we do? And Man United sit there and do nothing. And John's right. Villa have got more ambition than Man United. Look at the league table. Yeah? Look at that. This is the only competition we're in, by the way. This competition is the only competition we're in. We're not in the FA Cup. We're not in the Carabao Cup. We're not in Europe, right? We're in fourth. Villa are in third. Villa, we should be trying to catch. What are Villa doing in the January market? They're bringing two players in at least. What are we doing? Nothing. Who's got the bigger ambition? We're meant to be trying to catch Villa and they're bringing players in. It speaks volumes. United needs Trump to run the club, says Dial. Oh, God. Yeah, I don't know about that. Berry says he got the job at Arsenal and did nothing. Why do you think that at Man United he can be good? Well, I think that arrogance is typical of a moron, and you, my friend, are a moron. The Arsenal job is a little bit more nuanced than he did nothing. You might want to go and do your evidence there and do a bit of research there. Also, have you ever heard of the old adage, learn from your mistakes? Maybe he did flop at Arsenal. Maybe he did. Maybe he learned from that, and now he's certainly not flopping at Aston Villa, is he? Most sarcastic scenario, if we miss the Champions League, Wilcox as head coach and Amorim as director of football, forcing him to play a 3-4-2-1, says Eternity Breath. Thank you very much. Okay. Wish we were able to get Morgan Rogers, says Creeping. And if Emery was going to manage a new team, he would want an improvement on his current one. Well, the name of Man United is an improvement, but the situation won't be as good as Villa. Manchester United's next... I mean, look, the next manager... It's a good point. The next manager's got to realise that you don't get backed in January at Man United. You don't. The only reason we bought Bruno is because McTominay and Pogba got injured, you know. People forget that. Our best signing of the last decade only got signed because Pogba and McTominay got injured, right? And the fact is, if you take yourself back to that time, which many of us have, if McTominay and Pogba had not got injured, we would not have bought Bruno Fernandes. And if we hadn't bought Bruno Fernandes in the January, we probably wouldn't have got him in the summer because a lot of people wanted him but couldn't get him in the January financially, so they were going to go for him in the summer. So the best signing we've made in 10 years, when you analyse it, only happened because we got two injuries. It wasn't even planned. It was panic. So we just don't do business in January, which is just scary, really. Right, thanks everybody for tuning in. What do we got for you? It's not Ben Jacobs Day today, is it? No, it's not. When it's Thursday. No, it's Wednesday today. It's Thursday for that. So we're back at 2. It's an earlier show tonight. My 8 o'clock show has been moved to 7 o'clock because it's the final night of the Champions League. So I've got a double watch along tonight. I'm doing Napoli-Chelsea. Come on, Scooby-Doo and Rasmus. And we've got PSG against Newcastle, which I think will be good as well. Plus keeping an eye on all the other games. So 8 o'clock on That's Football for a Champions League last day watch along. 7 o'clock on here. 2 o'clock a little bit later. Thank you so much. Cracking shows at the moment. Really enjoying the conversations. Big up to some of those super chats as well. Well, all of them, thank you very much. But some really good comments coming in there and in the live chat. Stay safe. I'll speak to you in a bit. And thank you for the gifted memberships. You've got 40 today, which is absolutely incredible. Stay safe. I'll speak to you in a bit.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.